goal. They take on the Chicago Hounds tomorrow at 3 p.m. I spoke with head coach Corey Brown. Coming up this hour, Jeff Boggs from our sister station, KANE. We'll do a little ESPN bets with him at 1:45 as we do each and every day. Oh, boy. Let's see what else happens, huh? Women's Final Four. All of that and more. Are you nervous about tonight when it comes to the Pels and Spurs?
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend.
I mean, I'd understand if you were. I kind of am. I just want to see a win. Leo Haggerty coming up at 1:30. Normally he's 2:30 on Friday, but Shamit Dua is going to join us from In the Know podcast. He tweeted out some stats yesterday that I brought up. The plus-minus minutes when Jonas is with Zion as opposed to Larry Nance with Zion. So we'll talk a little bit about that here as well. Still waiting to see the updated injury report for the Pels to see if Zion's probable, questionable, out, in, what have you. Pelicans had their shoot-around already this morning. Victor Wembanyama in town. See what takes place with that. Marlon at 2:15. Shamit, as we said, and in your phone calls, 800-998-1003. See, Jack is ready to get going here as well. As hour two is underway. Jack, how are you today, sir? What you got going on today? And don't know what happened with Jack. Okay. So we'll see if Jack gives us a buzz back. I want to play this because this was head coach Willie Green after practice yesterday on what is the message to the team last game of the homestand going into tonight.
Yeah, it's tough loss last night, but for me at the end of the day, it's be steady. Adversity is going to happen at some point. You're going to run into some moments where we're not playing our best, playing against some tough opponents. Come in, let's continue to work. We wake up the next day, continue to fight, watch film, continue to focus on what are we doing well. Let's make sure we try to capitalize on that. Our margin for error is a little smaller without Brandon and Jose. We have to understand that, and that's it. Go back after.
Yeah. You have to stay positive, right? Jack, thank you for giving us a call back, sir. How are you?
Happy Friday, Gus.
Happy Friday,
man. How did your draft go last night?
Draft went real well. I did select Carver. He was given to me, so it's not like select him. So, yes, I do have him. His favorite color is red. So I was able to choose that. We went with minor league teams, and I touch them all Timmy Grubbs, who used to call games here where we are on Airline. Used to be the Shrine on Airline. Now it's the Gold Mine on Airline. And I went with the Mudcats, something I liked about
okay,
it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's the Carolina Mudcats. So it's a giant catfish inside of a sea. C for Carver, all that other stuff, so you got a kick out of it. So, yes, we are the Little Farms Mudcats is what we're doing. First practice tomorrow at 3 p.m.
I can't wait for your debut. But, look.
Oh, by the way, Monday, 6 p.m. is our first game, Jack, if you want to come see it. 6 p.m., Field 2. That's where we'll be.
I'll be there. It'll take me all of 2 minutes to get there, so I'll be there.
Nice.
Gus, I find it a little strange that that Rafael gives you a lot of garbage about your the NFL draft coverage and all the rest. Right. But yet he's all excited about fantasy wrestling. I don't get that.
Fantasy wrestling. It's all real, Jack. It's all real. That wrestling. It's all real.
My mistake. I apologize. I'm sorry, Rafael. But another curious thing I heard this week. Your man Ralph came on and he acknowledged that since Houston has a rookie quarterback, it opens up a variety of possibilities for them, which is right. I just find it curious that he realizes that the salary cap does matter. You know, it matters if you have a rookie quarterback, you know, you have more options than if you're paying somebody $50 million who may or may not be worth it.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah.
And you know, Gus, and I think you talked about this a little this week. You know, I see teams that are better than the Saints making grown-up decisions, you know, deciding that, you know, we have a really good quarterback, you know, like Buffalo. We have a really good quarterback, so we can't afford certain guys. We're going to have to redo the roster. So I just wish that happened here. Let me ask you a question. I don't get as many of these offers as I used to. But you think Mickey was the kind of guy that every one of those credit cards that came through in the mail, you think he would just sign up for those?
I'm not answering that. Hey, they signed a linebacker yesterday, though. How about that?
Oh, that's excellent. That is
Stop.
That's perfect. But you know what? You won't comment about it, but I imagine he's making like 30 credit card payments every month. No, I'm sure that doesn't happen because Mrs. Manson is paying him quite handsomely to sell this franchise right down the drain. But thank you, Mickey. I know somewhere Scott's listening and cursing me, but anyway,
sure.
We miss you, Scott.
Yeah. At some point, we will see Chef Scotty and get going here. Hey, you know what? There are some good news. Like I said, I mean, Kalaki Hudson is a new linebacker for your New Orleans Saints. How about that? No linebacker.
Where is he from?
The Commanders. He's a fifth-round pick back in the day.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I think anytime we're taking players off of the team that's drafting second in the draft, mm-hmm. that's got to be a good sign, right?
Good sign. Hey, did I tell you it's a beautiful day outside? it's beautiful.
Oh, it is a beautiful day.
It's a gorgeous day. In the 70s.
It's lovely.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Gus, seriously, the Pelicans, did they have any idea when B.I. might be back?
Well, today is Friday. 2 weeks ago, they gave today as the day for the reevaluation. Again, I'm looking. I have not seen the reevaluation email after being reevaluated, blah, 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 blah. That hasn't come out yet. I'm assuming at some point it's going to come. We saw him shooting on the court this week, not jumping and shooting, just standing flat-footed shooting.
Right.
My guess is, since this week he hasn't practiced, my guess is he's not available tonight, probably not available Sunday. If I had to venture a guess, and again, I don't know. Todd hasn't texted me. No one's text. I'm just guessing. My guess is we'll see what happens, see what the ramping up process was. I mean, Willie Green was asked yesterday about it after practice, and they said they're coming along nicely, B.I. and Jose Alvarado. So, Jack, if I had to give you a guess, hopefully, maybe you see him against Golden State and the Lakers. Like, that's my hope. You know, that's my hope. I have no idea, you know. But if he's shooting
Zion,
and he's on a bike.
That.
And, huh?
It's Zion's finger. How's that going?
It's a finger. Again.
Didn't he have a finger problem? Yeah.
No, I mean, yeah. No, he did. No, it's a contusion, and it's wrapped. And, you know, let's see how he's on the injury report. I don't know if he's going to be able to play tonight or not. I would hope so. I don't know. I'm waiting for something to pop up here so I can see it.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear you say that. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. No problem. Yeah, he's on the injury report, but I don't know if he's playing or not.
And God, just one last thing. Look, I'm not downplaying the popularity of women's sports because it is blown up. But I heard somebody explain the ticket thing a little. The men are playing in much larger arenas than the women are. Mm-hmm. And I think that's some of it, you know, just supply and demand. But, it's certainly, it's much, much better than it used to be.
I mean, no doubt. I mean, like I said, I legit cannot wait to see what these games are. And it wasn't me. I mean, that kind of feels the same way. And from this aspect of it, I just, again, I'm happy to be in the car and I always put on that first segment, see what they're talking about. It's normally always LeBron or the Cowboys, undisputed, with with Skip Bayless, who now has Keyshawn Johnson and Paul Pierce was on there this morning. And the thing is, they literally opened up by saying, hey, biggest thing tonight is women's basketball, the Final Four. And then all three said the same thing that I've been saying. They're like, I can't name you two players off of UConn's team. Like, there's no interest in the men's Final Four as much as I do now. Paul Pierce says, I can't wait to see the game. They actually said that before they started the show, they were talking about where they're going to go catch the game. Paul Pierce and Keyshawn Johnson. They wanted to go watch the game together tonight. So I do think, at least for this year, I don't know if it's sustainable. I don't know if it's going to be like that next year when you got somebody other than Caitlin Clark. Is it going to be like that here? I think having won a national championship obviously adds to that. I do think there's something to what I've been saying about it, Jack, in this. They're there for 3 years. You know, they're not one and done it. Even though LeBron this week said that he thinks they're hurt by not being able to do one and done. I'm like, no, actually, it's helped, I think, because you have rivalries. Iowa and LSU are able to, you know, to meet again this year. And I think it'll be interesting to see moving forward if, you know, you have players that meet in the Elite Eight, Sweet 16, Final Four, and then have to wait next year and you get to see them again. You just don't have that in the men's game right now. So I do think from that standpoint, it can be sustainable because I do think it's not just Caitlin. I do think you have some other players that are pretty good that have that little name going and the potential to be really good. So if that's the case, then I do think it could be a little bit sustainable from that aspect of it. You know, I mean, you know how I feel. Like college basketball, I wish it went to college baseball. I'd love to see you there for 3 years.
And Gus, correct me if I'm wrong, but Caitlin and Angel Reese are probably going to have to take a pay cut to go to the WNBA, right? They're making more money in NIL than they're going to make probably
so
in their first cut.
That's what I thought at first, and then somebody brought up, look, they're still going to have the NIL endorsement deals, and then you'll have a paycheck from a WNBA team, right? Now, I'll say this. I do absolutely think, at least in Angel Reese's case, the living conditions are going to be a little different. And when I say living, I'm talking about facilities, chartered flights, and how they're treated as opposed to WNBA, which does not even have chartered flights. So they're gonna go commercial. You know, when Angel Reese plays, it's going to be a little bit different in the arenas and sold out places and things like that. So that's why I do think, you know, from the women's game, you'll see people stick around and enjoy it.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
Sound good. Appreciate it. Quick break. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
Well, let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Bronny James, son of LeBron James, made news this week that he was entering a transfer portal. Was at USC this past season, averaged under 5 points a game. He is declared he's entering for the NBA draft. Honestly, don't know what to make of that. I don't know if it was him, he would would be getting drafted. There was an earthquake in Jersey today, about 4.7, 4.8, depending on where you were. That has a lot of people a little going, what's going on? And I saw a photo yesterday that literally, there's a photo of a massive lightning bolt hitting the Statue of Liberty's torch yesterday. Now you have the earthquake. You have people freaking out about the eclipse on Monday. I don't know. Buddy, you a little worried? Are you worried out there? Are we worried? Is anybody worried about Monday? So I'm serious. Like, there's cities and states that have, like, declared a state of emergency for the eclipse. And I thought yesterday was a joke, but it's true. Jefferson Parish Schools is closing early on Monday because they're concerned that kids are going to be looking at this, you know, at the sun and the eclipse, which is basically around 1:39 or something of that nature, is the most that we're going to see here in New Orleans, about 85%. We won't have a total eclipse. Starts around 11. 1:39 will be that 85%, and then 3:09 it's done and over with. But apparently that's around dismissal time, so the schools are saying, hey, let's get them home in some way. I'd say keep them inside the classrooms anyway. So, I don't know. It's just a little strange to kind of see what's happening out there. 800-998-1003 on the Rudiman Can Caller and Guest Hotline. Coming up at the bottom of the hour will be Leo Haggerty. We'll get his thoughts on tonight's Women's Final Four here as well, plus his thoughts on a couple of other aspects of it. Willie Green was asked yesterday after practice about the whole foul situation, what's going on. I mean, look, we saw that game. It looks like the Pels don't get calls. It looks like the Magic get calls. They're ticky-tack or not. Magic can be more physical. Teams can be more physical than the Pels, et cetera, et cetera. At the end of the day, Orlando had 38 free throw attempts, New Orleans 28. It was only a difference of two. It was the timing, and it was who those fouls were against, though. Herb Jones got called for a foul 16 seconds into the game. Would later pick up a second personal foul rather early in the game. Willie Green had this to say about officiating.
We definitely feel that our frustration is that we don't get the same calls as other teams. That's our frustration. And it's happening over and over again. We'll send the clips in, but we would like to get the same calls. And we're not a team that flops. And maybe we have to do a better job of selling some of them, but we definitely getting fouled, and we feel like they're missing some of them.
Brian, thank you for giving us a call on the Rudiman Can Hotline. How are you this Friday?
I'm doing good. G-Cat, how are you doing?
Doing well, man. What you got for me?
No, I was calling. I watched that game, that Orlando Magic game, and
okay.
In the second quarter, if I have to see Larry Nance, Herb Jones, Dyson Daniels, Najee Marshall, and T.J. McCollum on the floor, I mean, I'm going to start pulling my hair out. I mean, what coach looks at that lineup and says, this lineup's going to get me points? It's almost like you're saying, please do not let this other team score so we can get Zion back on the floor. I mean, if I'm an opposing coach, I'm saying, let's make a run here. I don't understand the lineup of having all defensive players and not, I don't understand it, because I even said in that lineup, they're going to go on a run here, the Magic. And they did.
It's funny you say that, Brian. It's one of the reasons I want Shamit Dua on today. He has been somebody that all season long has, if there's a talking point he's had, is it's fine and dandy you want to be a defensive team. You can't forget offense as well. You can't forget the score. And that's something that he's been bringing up, which is why I kind of want to have that. And to your point, during that stretch, it's kind of what I touched on yesterday and brought up a little bit earlier today. This is why I'm fearful about today. Mo Wagner, literally, the Orlando Magic just crossed the ball across the half-court line, and I can hear John DeShazer saying it right now. They saw the mismatch. They went straight across the court. They got one of their bigs in the paint. Hand went up. Ball went into the paint. It was either an and one or five. I mean, like, Dyson Daniels was getting crushed back. Hey, to your point, that lineup, what are they going to do against some of those bigs? And that's why I'm fearful, because if they do that again tonight, Victor Wembanyama might have 60. You know? I mean, he's better than Mo Wagner.
Right. Exactly. And, I mean, when they put Jonas on Wagner, Jonas went right to him and scored over him. And then he never saw the ball again. I just don't. I know he's not a great defensive player, but he can generate offense for you, and he can see the court in a much different way than Larry Nance is seeing it. I don't understand it. It just boggles me.
I wish I could give you an explanation other than I just play the soundbite of what he says, and you know he's.
I keep seeing it over and over again. It's almost like you're hoping for a different result with the same process.
What's your confidence level in the win tonight?
50-50.
It's telling, isn't it?
It's telling. And it's not because you're not talented. It's because I don't know what the demeanor of this team is right now. I don't know if they have that same confidence level. I don't know if the coaches are really just... I don't know if they're not seeing the court right. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I think, Brian, that's why it's so important just to get some sort of win, get some sort of confidence going. We're going to talk to Ryan Fitzgerald here in a quick sec, general manager of the goal. There's different sports, different aspects of it, but the importance of being able to, I guess, get out of a doldrum, a slump, a yuck, whatever it is that, because you felt it. I mean, you felt it. Look, I there's a reason I cut that long 2-minute highlight yesterday that I played, and I might play again here, of, you know, at the end of the game, you got it down the six, and then you have a trio of ejections, and you can just hear it, and you can feel it. And, you know, you saw the game, Brian. They were down 3 at half. It felt like they were down 30. I'm going to ask Ryan, like, where does that come from? Because if I feel it, and I'm just watching it, then I think it does permeate to the bench. It permeates to the players, and how do you get out of that, you know?
Well, I would have loved for Willie Green, after Zion got tackled, I would have loved for him to start running on the court, scream at the ref, get ejected, and say, you know, get the team fired up. That's what you should have done. I thought he was going to do it, but then kind of like he has that calm demeanor. It's not his personality, I know, but I would have loved to see him just get a little feisty with the ref and just get a tee or something.
Mm-hmm. I hear you, man.
Get the team fired up. Dude, I mean, you're seeing you're struggling. I don't know.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate the phone call, Brian. Enjoy your weekend, man. Yep, for sure.
You too. Thank you.
You heard what Brian had to say there, and you obviously know what's going on right now with the Bills trying to find a way to win. You're in the sports biz. You're in an executive side of it here as well. How hard is it when it just feels like, man, everything's going against you, you can't catch a break, injuries happening at the wrong time? It's just, it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, momentum is one of those things. Sometimes, like I said the other day, I think, you know, it's probably the hardest thing to get and the easiest thing to lose. And sometimes you need a spark or something like that. Sometimes a little scuffle or a fight or someone kind of backing each other for the team kind of gets it going, you know? So sometimes you need to. Sometimes you hear managers in baseball sometimes get tossed on purpose. I know Lou Piniella used to do that and stuff just to get his team going, mm-hmm. you know? So I'm not saying that's the right way to each his own, I guess. But, there's a spark or someone's got to step up, make a big-time play, big-time shot, big-time, you know, hit if it's in baseball or rugby, a big-time tackle or score, something like that that can kind of shift the momentum and ride that momentum going into the playoffs.
I think one of the things, too, when you look at it, I mean, because you guys made a decision to change a couple of things here to kind of start the year off 3-1 here in the first four games as well. There's plans, and then there's sometimes, I guess, hey, best laid plans sometimes don't come to fruition. You and I talked about this a lot of times, whether it's the Marines, whether it's sports, whatever. I think adaptation is key, right? You got to be able to see what's happening right now. I would love to tell you that this was going to happen, but it very rarely ever happens like that. Even for me, just something as simple as I plan on going to the gym this morning at 8:30. And then something wants to happen.
All the time.
I mean, it just happens like that. And that's so important in that sports, to be able to coach what you see in front of you, adapt to what you see in front of you.
Yeah. Who can react the best? Who can make the adjustment and react the best? I mean, on paper, if it's fantasy football or it's video game where no one gets injuries, everybody should be outstanding. It's about reaction. Between the years, who's the fastest to be able to react and adapt and overcome that?
I'm going to give you credit for calling this weather like this. It's fantastic. You should have this tomorrow for the home game, sir.
Yeah, it's been like this for like 3 days now. It'll be great if we could just get one more.
One more day. Yeah. We'll talk a little bit more about the goal. Leo Haggerty here as well. Jeff Boggs, Ryan Fitzgerald, the Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003 is we're live at the Gold Mine on Airline. Right next to the pitch here in the Party Shack. I love the Party Shack. We'll get to Leo here in about 60 seconds. But, Ryan, What do we get here at the Party Shack on game days, man?
Oh, it's an awesome place to come in and tailgate beforehand. They're coming in and out of here. Everybody's obviously pregame warm-up over here. They're right down, all the fans right down here on the ground. We got youth rugby going on right out here. And tomorrow they're going to have a huge, for our zoo roar, they're going to have a huge alligator out there blowing up for the kids to go out there as well.
I see it already.
Yep.
And there it is.
So
there's the air blower.
Yep. It's going to be a great event. Obviously, the tailgates, and everybody here in New Orleans knows about how to tailgate, so that'll be a blast. Plus, after the game, is a great place right here at this Party Shack to meet all the players, as the players from both teams will be in here eating and having some beers.
Before Wednesday's game, because the weather's just been fantastic, we decided to walk LaSalle around the track before. I went to get Graf's like, where are you? I'm like, I'm on the track.
Yeah.
I'm just enjoying myself. Carver saw the little playground area. He was like, he wants to go. I'm like, I can't get there.
You can get in there. Let me know. We can get you in there. We do that as well as the coaching staff a lot of times. We'll walk around this.
I also noticed the cooler behind us, too.
Yes, that is.
The beer is being chilled right now.
Ice cold.
Ice cold.
Can't wait.
Looking forward to that for sure. Leo Haggerty, as always, appreciate the time. I know you'd enjoy a beautiful, gorgeous day here as well. And did you, we've talked about this. Have you played rugby? You've done a little rugby?
I know how to play it. I played it once. One time in the scrum, that's all I needed.
That's it. One time in the scrum, that's it. That's all you needed to get. Ryan, that's one of the things that we talked about with Corey Brown here as well. Do we call them scrummers, or what do we call those guys that get in that scrum?
Well, the guys that are, I mean, they're scrummaging is what they're doing collectively as a whole, all eight guys. But it's the forwards that are scrummaging.
Forwards?
Yeah, forwards, okay. the big fellas. That's numbers 1 through 8. So that's your, the front row is the 1, 2, 3. Right behind them is the engine room, the big locks, 4 and 5.
There it is.
6, and then the back row.
I want to ask you and Leo this question here as well, because it will go into our topic that we bring in Mr. Haggerty here as well. Obviously, we have a game tomorrow.
Yes.
Y'all are preparing today. Leo, there's a lot of different things going on. We're 3 weeks from the NFL draft, NBA. I'm busy with that.
Can't wait.
I'm not the only one that's talked women's Final Four, huh? Like, even in the office, I mean, people I've mentioned, like, do you know there's two games tonight?
Yes.
That's what I'm getting at, right?
It's incredible.
Like, listen to what you just said. Of course.
Of course. It was incredible.
Like, what do you hear? Like, what are the guys, what are the ladies, what's everyone around here talking about?
A bunch of us were watching it on Monday, LSU. We were.
Yeah, you text me. You wanted me to come meet you. I'm like, dude, I'm at a game. I'm sorry, but yeah.
It was great. It was incredible. I mean, it's been awesome to watch the competitiveness. I mean, Caitlin Clark is once in a lifetime generation. No matter what sport it is, greatness is fun to watch.
Leo, you do a lot of different stuff for there in the community and stuff, and obviously you're covering sports here as well. Though, but I want to ask you, like, people have talked this week about it to you, huh? Haven't you?
Oh God, yes. Like I told you the other day, Gus, my correspondents, they were fighting over who wanted to go cover Caitlin Clark. I mean, it's a phenomenon. It's almost as incredible as New Jersey having an earthquake today. How crazy is that? That's how catastrophic this women's Final Four is. I mean, you got Dino Orihime at Connecticut going against Iowa. You got South Carolina undefeated going against NC State. Yeah, NC State's in both of them. Amazing. So yeah, it's not just water cooler, but it's must-see TV tonight.
When you look at the games here as well, and there's something that I wanted to play for you, Leo. On ESPN this morning, this is what they talked about. Chinny Ogwemeke was talking about specifically why maybe there's so much attention to it.
The difference then is that the stars back 14 years ago were the teams. It was the UConns. It was the Stanfords. It was the Tennessees. It was the Baylors. The stars now are the players. And I think that shows that the game is in a very healthy place. We're talking about Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, even freshmen like Juju Watkins, Hannah Hidalgo. The list goes on and on. And I think that's why we love the game and where it is today. And that's what I've highlighted, over the course of my career, knowing that, we play for the legacy of moving the game forward. But also players are, they're taking different decisions now. They're going to different schools. They want to be the star. And that creates a lot of different points of entry for teams.
Would you agree with that, Leo?
Just, I'll tell you what. You go back 5 years, you went to Connecticut. That was it. If you were a good player, you didn't go anywhere else. Now, because of television, because of the NIL, you can go anywhere in the country. A lot of these women and a lot of the men are saying, I'd rather start the legacy than be part of the legacy. And that's huge. because now they're out there. They're like the pioneers going over the Rocky Mountains to the West Coast. Those guys are setting the stage. They're telling people, look, we can play anywhere. They're going to follow us, and we're going to get to the Final Four. Think about recruiting at Iowa and NC State. Now, yeah, UConn and South Carolina, they're up there. But these two, they're going to have people. The coaches aren't going to have to go out and, you know, bang the bushes for this. They'll have people calling them to say, hey, I want to go play there.
What do you think?
That's awesome. I agree. I mean, it's awesome that there's that much talent around and people are able to, you know, I mean, obviously it was awesome back in the 90s too, men's basketball, watching like Duke right. and UNC back.
But it was, right? It was Pat Summit. You know? It was like the coaches and stuff of that nature. And obviously they were providing those players. And look, I mean, UConn has, I don't know, Leo, 35 players that are on the Basketball Hall of Fame and doing that. But it was just kind of that one university. And I do think a lot of it is the parity. I mean, even when we talk about gold and rugby, we've seen from when it started. I mean, like, there's a lot of different teams now that are pretty good, right? It's different than if it was just New Orleans and San Diego.
Yeah, there's no clear-cut front runner, and that's awesome. You want to have week in and week out. You want to have the parity for the fans, for people watching it. Players on the rise, players coming. I do agree too. Taking, you know, in our league, there's a Sam Gala out of Dallas. He's the first overall pick 2 years ago, and takes a Dallas team, and boom, he's on the USA national team, and he's the captain of it. And you can see where that thing's going, where he's going to lead the franchise for years to come.
All right, so let's break it down, Leo. You got the first game tonight, and that is South Carolina taking on NC State. NC State has a women and men's team in the Final Four here. 36-0. More pressure on South Carolina tonight than, say, NC State?
A lot of pressure on South Carolina, but you haven't lost the game. So if you get behind a little bit, that's going to be interesting to see, you know, how maybe it'll get a little tight in the stomach or that elbow starts to get a little, you know, loose and crazy. So South Carolina's got to get the lead because once they get the lead, they're the best front runners in women's basketball right now. They're going to be tough to catch. NC State has great guard play, and Gus, I've talked to you about this. It's a guard tournament, whether it's men or women. And if NC State shoots the ball, South Carolina's going to have to cover. That could be trouble. I think South Carolina wins, but I think it's going to be close.
What do you think?
South Carolina.
South Carolina? Yeah. I got you.
Yeah, I like the fact that, like you said, I think they're going to be ready. I don't think they're where they're at in time to prepare. I don't think they're looking over NC State. But NC State's playing a little bit of house money. They can just let it rip, man, because they're obviously the
Isn't
underdog.
It a dangerous thing?
Very.
Like when you think about that, when you play a team where you're like, they could care less.
Yeah. I mean, they've made it to the final.
Because you've been on the other side of it too, right? Like, hey, you know what? We got nothing to lose here. Let's go out there and go on. I mean, that's a message that you hear from your guys.
Yeah. Yeah, dangerous, very dangerous person to play or fight against or anything. They got nothing to lose in there.
Nothing to lose.
Yeah.
All right. I love this. There's so many storylines here. And this week, Leo, you heard nationally. Look, Paige would be Caitlin if she wouldn't have got injured. Paige is a better player. On the Caitlin side, UConn didn't even call. They didn't text. They didn't check in on me. Geno said, we got no room for you. I just think at the end of the day, too, it's about the rest of their teams. And, Leo, I thought LSU's overall team was a little bit better than Iowa's this year, but her teammates came through. She was passing a lot. They were putting up the kisses off the glass, but they made free throws. Angel Reese and LSU failed to kind of do that as well. When I look at UConn, though, that team you know is going to be coached, but they don't have as many players, right? Raphael was mentioning earlier, they're only about six deep, maybe seven. How could that affect them having to chase Caitlin Clark around the entire time?
Well, they're getting foul trouble. It's definitely going to affect them. But Gino Arama is no dummy. He sat there and he watched that LSU game and he saw Caitlin Clark put up 40 and then 24 with assists. That's 64 points she put up by herself. I can almost guarantee you Gino's going to double team her. They're going to take the ball out of her hands because if they hold her to 20 or in the 20s, they win the basketball game because she's not been able to dish off assists. You've got to keep the ball out of Caitlin Clark's hands. Now, that may be easier said than done, but you put two people on her. You have one person guard the right hip, one person guard the left hip, and don't let her get the ball and make the other four beat you because I don't think they can because Connecticut can score. So I'm picking the upset here, Gus. I think Connecticut wins. because they're just not going to let Caitlin Clark get 40 and 12 assists.
Hmm. Who you like, Ryan?
Well, if I was UConn, I mean, I would guard the perimeter big time. You know, I think that, like, was it Gabby Marshall, was it?
And yeah.
The Martin. You know, that set shooting. They got to, you know, can set up and get their feet right and shoot a three. They can knock it down. I don't know about them driving to the lane and taking it, you know, as much. So I'd guard the perimeter hard card. And,
I guess if I was deeper than that, maybe I would do that. I'd have somebody just say, wherever she goes, somebody's always running.
But she is hitting him from the logo. Right. So, I mean,
yeah. And she can drive by you, too.
Oh,
I mean, I'm interested in that, man. It's going to be interesting to kind of see. Leo, before we let you go, you said you wanted to touch on some golf. Are you coming here for the Zurich Classic of New Orleans in 3 weeks?
I may be up there for a day, Gus. I'll let you know. But I was talking to my golf guy, Troy Odegaard, who also takes me care of the AFC South with Jacksonville and Tennessee. If you watch Jordan Spieth yesterday, he got a hole-in-one. But if you look at his card, he has every number on the card between 1 and 7 except 2 and 6. As Troy said, it looks like a geometry assignment. Uh-huh. He was 4 over when he knocked in that hole in 1. He's got it back now to 3 under after the second round. So what a great comeback. That was an ugly round of golf to the 15th hole when he knocked in that 8. Hey, Gus, real quick, I got a question of your host there.
What's that?
Compare rugby in the United States to those guys over there in New Zealand. Where are you in that respect?
Well, funny question he asked that we have a lot of New Zealand guys on our team and in the league, which is great. But as far as rugby as a whole, I mean, obviously we're United States, obviously our primary sports, of course, that we all grew up in. And obviously it's hard to do 100% comparisons because the whole country of New Zealand has about the same amount of people that Louisiana has in the whole state. So they grew up playing pretty much, you know, once two sports, pretty much rugby or cricket, maybe a little bit of soccer. So they're obviously, you know, at top of the world right there, you know, with some of those teams in the, you know, on the Pacific.
Right.
But we're coming, you know, we're coming. And I think obviously with 365 million people in this country, and if we get to the point where obviously the NFL, those are powerhouses, those are monsters, obviously, as far as leagues and everything like that. But we continue to keep growing the sport going into year 7 here in the United States. Our national team, our collegiate sides and everything keep on growing. You know, athletic-wise, you can ask even some of our New Zealand coaches that are here on our team. You know, Americans as far as that we have here in the States, athletic-wise, and we're right there with all of them as far as height, weight, speed, power, all that. It's just the fact that a lot of them, we grew up, we had a football in our crib, right? You know, or basketball or baseball, whatever. You know, they grew up with just a rugby ball. They're playing tackle rugby sometimes at 6 years old. You know, so obviously that's what they, you know, plus also their academies. They go to high schools that do one sport. There will be an all-boys school or something that will go, you know, eighth grade through senior year, and it is pretty much go to class, go to rugby. Go to class, go to rugby. Obviously, we're not 100% there yet. And, you know, in the United States, there's, you know, only so many schools that are doing that. We play multiple sports, obviously, which is great. But if we can get to, you know, even a crunch of that, we'll hang with them.
Leo?
That's a great answer. And, Gus, real quick, I got Purdue and Connecticut get to the final.
There it is. See what takes place. Leo Haggerty, as always, man. Appreciate the time.
Hey, Gus, have a great weekend.
You too. Have a great weekend. We'll be back. Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003. Jeff Bond. Time for ESPN Bets. Sir, how are you?
Not bad for a Friday afternoon. Sun is shining here and at Wrigley, but well, Hendricks had a rough start. Didn't get help in the outfield, but 2-0 Dodgers lead the Cubs.
Yeah, the graph just sent me a screen capture of the box score there. It's what it is. You know what? Let's talk basketball. Pelicans tonight need a win, Jeff. Need a win against the Spurs, sir.
Do they ever? Again, it's the worst time to be without Ingram. It's the worst time to be stumbling. And even if you stay in the postseason situation, you don't want to limp into it as they are. But, hey, by the way, Dansby Swanson just hit a home run. 2-1 now. Spurs, by the way, 11.5-point underdogs today. The over-under, 219.5, money line, minus 800 for the Pels, plus 550 for the Spurs. So obviously, Pelicans heavily favored, and they need some help. Spurs are 18-58 recently, put together a season-high three-game winning streak, but they've lost back-to-back games despite playing competitively in both games. Most recently, Tuesday night, lost to the Nuggets 110-105. Spurs are going to be without a couple of key players, Osman and Barlow. Keldon Johnson, he's got a foot issue listed as questionable. Pelicans coming in at 45-31, but really stumbling at a really inopportune time of year. Dropped four of their last five games, and sadly at home, too, as you well know. Most recent defeat against Orlando Wednesday night, Zion Williamson registered 15 points, but as we know, he's got that finger issue. Questionable for tonight's game, and Ingram and Alvarado still out. So again, tonight's game, last time these two teams meet this year, Pels up 3-0, but again, it was a different Pels team winning those games.
Yeah, let's see what happens here, Jeff. I can tell you, I don't care if it's by a point, by just get a win somehow, some way, before they go out on this four-game road trip. Jeff, Kings are another team. It was weird. Yesterday, you would have wanted them to win. Today's a little bit different. Now it's, we're back to we want them to lose. How do you see this Kings game?
Yeah, absolutely. The Kings playing the Celtics. Celtics have already clinched the number one in the East. In fact, number one in the NBA. So they don't have as much to play for, but the Kings still do. Again, Boston 60-16 overall, 33-3 at home. Sacramento 44-32 overall, 21-17 on the road. Earlier this year, Celtics beat the Kings in their only other matchup, 144-119. Kings come in 8.5-point dogs on the road. The over-under 226.5. Celtics minus 425 on the money line, plus 320 for the Kings. A couple of things you may want to know about the Kings coming off that loss to the Knicks just last night as they remain on the East Coast. Second contest of a four-game road trip before the Kings finish the season with three straight at home. Kings currently the number 8 seed, as you mentioned, in the West, and one game behind the Suns, 6 seeded, and in between the Pels. Sacramento 4-4 over its last 8 games. That hindered their chances of moving out of the play-in tournament. And the Celtics, they've basically gone wire-to-wire as the best team in the NBA. Enter tonight's game with 7 more wins than any other team. Jason Tatum leading Boston, 27-plus points, 8-plus rebounds, nearly 5 assists per game. Celtics are far from, though, a one-player team, arguably the best starting lineup in the league, and, you know, their record would probably indicate that. Brown and White questionable for tonight for the Celtics. They won 5 straight against the Kings, 17-11 against the spread against the West this season. So, again, odds are for the Celtics, no doubt about it. We don't need them to beat the spread, just win the game.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Do that. And then there's another one that's of note. You got the Warriors and the Mavericks. The Warriors are below the Pelicans. The Mavericks are above the Pelicans, so we want Golden State to win, although that means they will be continuing to play really well, and the Pels face them next Friday, a week from today. But we're looking at this game. This game's in Dallas, 7:30, Warriors-Mavericks. Who do you see here?
Okay, 46-30 are the Mavs, 5th in the West. 5.5-point favorites at home tonight. Over-under 225.5, minus 200 on the money line for the Mavs, plus 170 for the Warriors. 10th in the West, as mentioned. Again, looking at Dallas in this game, a couple of things you may need to know about. They enjoyed a big 109-95 victory over the Hawks for its 8th victory in its last 9 games. Over the one defeat during the span came against the Warriors. The 9-game stretch has put the Mavs into the number 5 spot, as we mentioned, 2 games back of the Clippers for that number 4 seed, which again would host a first-round playoff series. Mavs on a 12-2 run against the spread over their last 14 games. They're also 9-3 against the spread the second night of back-to-back games. Derek Lively, though, out for Dallas tonight. He's got a leg issue. Meanwhile, Warriors came tearing into last night's matchup with 5 straight wins. Dallas 12-2 outright over its last 14 games. Golden State 12-2 against the spread over their last 14 games. Warriors now 4 games ahead of Houston for the final play-in spot. Golden State 1.5 games back of the Lakers for that number 9 spot. The team has covered in 5 of its last 6 games, and the Warriors 26-12 against the spread. Road record, that is the best in the NBA. Jonathan Kuminga out, he's got a knee issue, is expected to play after missing the last 5 games. So he is not expected to play, to make it clear.
Jeff Box from our sister station, KANAE, doing a little ESPN bets here at the NBA. You know what? I don't know if you know. There's a Final Four today. There's so much talk about the women's Final Four. I know you've been following it here as well. What's the action look like when it comes to Iowa and UConn?
Well, Iowa, 2.5-point favorite. The over-under, 162.5. Money line, Iowa, minus 150, plus 124, Connecticut. You know, these two teams met in the 2021 NCAA tournament. Neither of their stars, Caitlin Clark, Paige Buechers, in the game. Oh, they were in the game, but by no means were they the leading scorers. A lot has changed since then. Still, it's going to be the players around each team's star guard that's going to make the difference, I think. Tonight, Iowa not afraid to mix up defensive looks. Addison O'Grady, Sydney Falter have played key roles in the tournament. UConn has proven it can play various styles, winning games in Portland after scoring 80 and 53 points respectively. You know, the Huskies' lack of depth probably finally gets to them tonight. Foul trouble could be an issue. They've improved since the regular season, but UConn struggled against top competitors this year. They lost to UCLA, Texas, South Carolina, North Carolina State, and Notre Dame. So the Huskies having trouble containing top guards, from what I understand. Iowa over UConn would be my guess. And I'm thinking about a 7-8-point spread.
I'm just curious to see how this game is going to go, because obviously LSU and Iowa had all these expectation levels, and it was tied at halftime. It almost, you know, met those expectation levels here too, you know, and there's so much talk about these two games, South Carolina, NC State, Iowa, and UConn. I'm just curious if these two games are going to deliver, you know?
You know, again, I don't see why they don't. I really don't. Obviously, we're disappointed that LSU's not playing tonight, but these are two great matchups. Should be interesting. And, you know, I'd love to see North Carolina State do something special tonight. I don't see that happening.
Jeff, if people want to get involved in ESPN Bet, how can they do that?
You bet. Check out the app, ESPN Bet. Ready to take us through all the big sports moments this spring. Sportsbook of ESPN has it all, including exclusive offers, promotions from personalities like Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, playoff intensity, getting on the links, out to the ballpark. No better time this spring to be a sports fan. Sign up today. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download it today. ESPN Bet. What a play. Terms and conditions apply. Check out the app. It has all the details. Remember, you got to be 21 or older. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with LaBerge Lake Charles. I think I know that gambling hotline number better than my girlfriend's number.
Jeff, as always, man, appreciate the time. Hopefully you go outside and enjoy it, dude. I don't know how many more days we got with this low humidity, so get outside, Jeff.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Sounds good, man. Appreciate the time. As always, Jeff Boggs, right around this time. Our sister station, KNAE, with ESPN Bets. We come back, Ryan Fitzgerald, myself, will do hour number 3. Hour number 2 is in the books. Chris's Paving has brought you hour number 2. Hour 1 was brought to you by none other than No Wake Outfitters. We'll be there a week from today out there on Airline Drive. Looking forward to doing that here as well. Hour 3 next on ESPN New Orleans.
ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the huge sports moments this spring. The exclusive sports book of ESPN has it all, including exclusive offers and promotions from Scott Van Pelt and Stephen A. Smith.